National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for November 2003. This is issue number 224, and I'm your host, Fred Volpe, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. Our address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Telephone number is 419-228-6223. And if you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. If you live in the United States of America and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost of a subscription is $28. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $32, but that will change. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you get to keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org/member, all in small letters, and you can sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Well, we got a lot of action on this edition of the DX Audio Service, so let's swing it on down to Big D with that guy in the Stetson hat. Yeah, that's none other than high-flying Bill Hale.
This is the AM Switch.
Thanks, Fred. First, I'd like to say a special hello to all the DX Audio Service members who attended the 2003 convention here in Dallas. We reacquainted ourselves with a lot of old faces and made a lot of new friends. With that said, let's get into AM Switch for November 2003. Starting off with call letter changes, 580 in Rockwood, Tennessee, the old WOFE is now WWSR. 590 KRLH in Riverside, California changes to KTIE. WDAF 610 in Kansas City, Missouri is now KCSP. The 630 in Hickory, North Carolina, WIRC changes to WAIZ. 7:30 in Medford, Oregon, KLVB changes to KEZX. The news station in Fallon, Nevada on 750 takes the calls of KHWG. That CP is not on the air as of yet. 800 in Tijuana, Baja, California, XEMMM changes to XESPN, going along with their affiliation with ESPN Sports. The new 840 in Modesto, California takes the calls of KPNP. That won't come on till 860 is moved to San Francisco. 950 in Boise, Idaho, KKIC changes to KNJY. KOEL in Old Wine, Iowa, 950 changes to KKHQ. The 1000 station in Walhalla, South Carolina, WSMW changes to WWOF. Now the AM log and FCC show that WSMW is silent, so does this mean a possible return? We'll keep you posted. 1160 in San Antonio, KENS, now changes to KRDY. The 1270 station in Pritchard, Alabama, WKSJ changes to WIJD. In Shasta Lake City, California, the 1330 station was KSNA, now changes to KJPR. WDUZ 1400 in Green Bay, Wisconsin has taken the new calls of WNGB. WRDW 1480 in Augusta, Georgia changes to WTEL. The 1490 station in Houma, Louisiana, KFXY is now KJIN, but they are silent, and that may signify a return to the air for that station. Also on 1490, WNTJ, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, has changed to WSPO. KKSN in Oregon City, Oregon on 1520 changed that call letter to KZNY. 1560, Center, Alabama, WAGC is now WZTQ, but again, that station is silent, but they may be on the air soon with that call change. 1630, WTEL in Augusta, Georgia is now WRDW. 1640, KMKZ in Enid, Oklahoma changes to KMMZ. And finally, for the call letter changes, 1690, the station that was originally to go on in Johnston City, Illinois, has moved to Berwyn, and they take the calls of WRLL. Grants for new stations, a 540 station in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, will be on the air with U4, 250 day and 330 watts at night. On 550, Reno, Nevada has been granted a new station, a directional signal at night with 1,000 watts in the daytime, 250 watts at night. Now the night pattern goes due east, protecting KSFO in San Francisco, and they, by the way, fought against this station's grant. The new 550 will share a transmitter site with Reno's 920 and 1230. A new 670 is going to go on the air in Las Vegas, Nevada. They were granted U4, 10,000 day, 600 night. McCook, Nebraska will soon be getting a station on 700. They will have 250 watts day and night and a directional signal at night only. On 740, a new station in Fargo, North Dakota, will have 50,000 watts daytime, 940 watts at night, and a CH power of 7,500 watts. That's a critical hours time, and their antenna patterns will be three different patterns. On 1090, Farmington, New Mexico, will get a new station. They're 1,500 day, 250 watts at night, with two separate patterns. And finally, a new station in Mackenzie, British Columbia. They'll take the call letters of CKMK. That station will have a kilowatt day and night non-directional. Some grants to existing facilities, WTCM in Traverse City, Michigan, will go 35,000 day, 1,100 night with two different patterns. 660 WBHR in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, will increase their night power along with a pattern adjustment to become U4, 10,000 day, 500 night. 670 in Simi Valley, California, KIRN, increases day and night powers, and they're going to alter both patterns to become U4, 35,000 day, 35,000 night. On 950, KTBR, Roseburg, Oregon, will increase the day power to become U1, 3,400 day, 20 watts at night. 960 KNEB in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, will increase the day power and decrease the night power, and their new facilities will be U4, 5,000 day, 350 at night. 980 KICA in Clovis, New Mexico, will have an increase in day and night powers, now 1,400 day, 172 watts at night. WLEE 990 in Richmond, Virginia, has been granted U4, 3,600 watts daytime, 1,350 at night from four new 186-foot towers at a new location, and a change of city of license to Short Pump, Virginia, honest to goodness. But they're having problems. I've talked to the folks there. They're having problems with adjacent landowners where they want to build the new towers, so that may be a while. 1010 in Newport, New Hampshire, WNTK, has moved back to this frequency from 1020. They now have 1,000 day, 37 watts at night. It appears the only way they could get a nighttime authorization was to return to 1010. 1020 in Ocean City, Somers, New Jersey, WIBG, increases the day power and adds a critical hours operation to become D1, 1,900 day, and 680 watts during those critical hours. 1110 in Franklinton, Louisiana, WOMN, increases their day power to become daytime only, 30,000 watts in the daytime and a critical hours power of 10,000 watts, but the big news is they're moving down 10 kilohertz to 1100. KNRC in Englewood, Colorado, on 1150, increases the day power to 10,000 watts, and they're going to alter the night pattern with two added towers. They will become U4, 10,000 day, 1,000 nights. Weezer, Idaho station on 1260 KWEI increases their day power to become 10,000 day, 60 watts at night. They had an application for 50 kilowatts daytime, but they've scaled it back to 10 kilowatts. WCCW on 1310 in Traverse City, Michigan increases the day power and adds night service to become U4, that's two different patterns, 15,000 day, 130 watts at night. 1370 in Gastonia, North Carolina, WLTC increases their day power to become non-directional all hours, 20,000 day and 30 watts at night. 1390 WRIG in Schofield, Wisconsin increases the day and night powers to become U4, 10,000 day, 7,200 watts at night. KUJ 1420 in Walla Walla, Washington changes to U1, 5,000 day, 930 watts at night. 1480 WPWC in Dumfries Triangle, Virginia, is increasing their day power and a slight alteration to that pattern. They now have 5,000 day, 500 night, two different patterns. WICY in Malone, New York on 1490, the station will move to 1,500 kilohertz with day power of 50,000 watts, nothing at night, and a critical hours power of 43,000 watts. On 1520, WTRI, Brunswick, Maryland, increases the day power to become D3, 17,000 day. New CPs on the air, WFTL in West Palm Beach, Florida on 850, 50,000 day, 24,000 watts at night with two different patterns, and both patterns, by the way, serve the Bermuda Triangle quite well. On 870, Whitley, Nevada, KLSQ, this is a change city of license from Laughlin, plus the action also decreases the night power. Their facilities now are nighttime pattern only with 5,000 day and 430 watts at night. 1380, KJJL in Cheyenne, Wyoming, is now on the air. They moved up 10 kilohertz from 1370. Their facility powers are 1,000 day and 8 watts at night, non-directional. WIBM in Jackson, Michigan on 1450 decreases the tower height and increases the power to become 810 watts day, 810 watts night, non-directional. And a 1690 WSWK in Adel, Georgia, is on the air simulcasting with WDDQ 92.1 FM with a format which is described by them as surveillance, weather, traffic, and the slogan is Wild Adventures Radio. It's been widely heard throughout the Southeast promoting the Wild Adventure Park at Valdosta. The station still has that CP to move to Atlanta suburb of Avondale Estates. 1690 WRLL in Berwyn, Illinois is that relocated station from Johnston City, which we spoke of earlier. It's now on the air, IDing as Berwyn, Chicago with an oldies format. Some odds and ends we'll take a look at this time. WSNL in Flint, Michigan. The four-tower site of the station has gone away. There's only one tower remaining. There's a housing development going in. Three of the towers are down, and they'll use the remaining tower at the existing site on Center Road in Burton, Michigan for the next few months while it plans a new directional site somewhere in western Genesee County. 670 CKXB in Musgravetown, Newfoundland. The owners of the station have received authority from the CRTC to take the station off the air. They stated that the aging transmission equipment has led to many breakdowns in the transmitter's operation. It's also noted that CKXB's coverage area is served by CKVO Clarenville, CKGA Gander, and VOCM FM1 in Clarenville. There's a new station in DeWitt, New York, licensed to 720. However, they've been heard doing tests on 700. The call letters are WV2XOA. The site has been seen by our Scott Feibusch. He says that the site is nothing more than a single unfenced tower, a transmitter inside a tent, and a generator perched on a little U-Haul trailer under a canopy. CFJR in Brockville, Ontario on 830 has signed off. It's been replaced by CFJR-FM on 104.9. WAMQ 900 Saratoga Springs, New York is still running with a temporary long wire antenna with 250 watts while the new tower location is being sought. On 970, WRCS in Hahashka, North Carolina suffered extensive damage as a result of Hurricane Isabel, including their 300-foot tower, which also housed their FM station. Both stations made it back on the air using a little ingenuity, baling wire, and bubble gum. WRCS rigged 150 feet of number 10 wire on top of 2x4s, while the FM station made it back running low power from about 80 feet. A new tower for the station should be up and running by the end of the year. The legendary KCBQ is 1170 in San Diego. Their six-tower site has been raised. The station is temporarily operating from a wire antenna strung off the side of KPOP 1360 in San Diego, running 5,000 watts by day and 375 watts at night. 1370 WLTC in Gastonia, North Carolina has been fined $4,000 as the FCC calls it a notice of apparent liability. They failed to power down at sunset from their daytime power of 12,000 watts to their nighttime power of 30 watts, and the FCC agents monitored the station for at least a couple of nights and found them to be in violation of their license. WBJX 1460 in Racine lost its tower to vandals but is back on the air after securing temporary, although less efficient, facilities. It's not known when the station will be back on full power. 1470 WMBD in Peoria, Illinois. This is a follow-up to news a few issues back. After losing three of their four towers to a tornado in May, the station was operating non-directional with reduced powers. I've been in contact, or email contact actually, with the chief engineer Wayne Miller there and asked for an update, and he replied that the foundations should be done very soon. However, the work has been going slower than he had hoped. The towers should be going up the first week of November, and then about 30 days later, the tuning of the directional array. He's hoping to be back on normal facilities by mid-December. We'll keep you posted here. And that's AM Switch for November 2003 on the DX Audio Service. Now it's time to turn you over to John Balker for this month's Travelogue.
National Radio Club.
Well, thank you, Bill. And once again, we're just delighted you've taken this big step forward to provide this essential information in AM Switch we all look forward to hearing each month. We're delighted to have you with us, and nice job, too. And hello once again to everybody. Well, today we're going to finish our trip across this beautiful land with our radio dials glued to 820 kilohertz. This has become a most interesting channel on the AM dial for DXing, and for a very complex history for many of its stations. In fact, we're going to touch on a few of those as we wind our way from the central part of the country to the West Coast today. And we're even going to hear from a couple of guests who attended the Dallas convention. We're going to start today in Chicago and listen to at least seven radio stations there as we begin the November 2003 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Bill Bates. Lacey on WAIT, Chicago's big band station, Little Darlin'. Judy Garland, speaking about Little Darlin's, You've Made Me Love You.
You know, that was a very listenable 5-kilowatt station for years and years in the Windy City. They came on the air in 1941, it says here, and they held those call letters until 1986. But in 1986, they were bought out by Century Broadcasting, and they changed their call letters to conform to the new cozy music format.
We're the cozy place on your dial. WCZE, Chicago. Cozy, 820 AM.
So, as you can detect, they tried a different music mix on WCZE, and it lasted until 1988. Not all that long, you're right. And then a new program manager came in and decided, well, the only thing wrong with this 820 station in Chicago was the station break, so he made his move. I think you'll enjoy the banter that Mark Strickert recorded for us on the last day of this next station.
Beyond that, as you know, the station's changing formats, call letters and staff, and you might be expecting some sort of sad farewell, a maudlin monologue, but hey, what's the point?
Yeah, really?
An inside joke that will become clear to everyone in about an hour.
Well, we turn up somewhere, and by the way, John, we kind of follow each other from station to station for some reason.
Notice that, huh?
But that's okay, that's how this business works, and I'm sure we'll turn up together again somewhere, sometime, someplace, on some dial in Chicago. For the last hour, this is WXEZ AM and FM Chicago.
So, what's the point? Well, I tell you, let's bring in Ken Honestchuk across the room here in Dallas. He put together a short piece for us. Ken?
Well, 820 WPNT Chicago was on the air about 13 years ago. And it was a daytime-only station, Pop Adult, when it signed off permanently on December 31st of 1990 and left the frequency quiet for a whole year. Really something. Only at sunrise with WOSU Columbus and at sunset CHAM in Hamilton, Ontario, and at nights WBAT be heard. Then on January 1st of 1992, two Chicago men put WSCR on the air, a sports talk station. Later, the owners worked successfully for 5 years to get a 24-hour signal and move to 1160 in July of 1997, replacing WIPA, which moved to 820, with a personal achievement radio format. Later, it was sold to Catholic Family Radio and the same calls. Later in 2000, it went to One-on-One Sports, now Sporting News Radio, and changed to WCSN as it is today.
Well, very good, Ken. And here is the WPNT sound that you mentioned at the beginning.
It's just about 11 o'clock at WPNT AM and FM Chicago. I'm Ken Cocker, playing at least 52 minutes of the best songs of the 80s and today with Less Talk. The Point.
Anyway, then they changed formats a couple of times, as you heard from Ken, including Radio Unica.
Good morning from AM 820, WYPA Chicago, Radio Unica.
De costa a costa, con una misma programación, esta es Radio Única y su gigantesca red de afiliadas, la cadena de las noticias, la primera en deportes. Radio Única.
In fact, they had a slightly longer stint as a talk station with a religious basis. But once the long silence that Ken mentioned had dissipated, they finally found a niche that was to serve them for the next decade or so.
Saturday, partly sunny, warmer. With a high near 80, but a chance for a shower in the afternoon right now. 76 at O'Hare, 74 at Midway, 61 along Chicago's lakefront. Always keeping you up to date with the latest news on Sports Radio 820. I'm Jennifer Hammond. Now WSCR Chicago scoreboard update brought to you by Sports Careers. Here's George Offman.
Jennifer, it's been a long time since the Cubs won a game.
And more recently, Clark Ingram was passing through town.
The latest from the world of sports with the Sporting News Flash every 20 minutes, only on 820 WCSN Chicago, Sporting News Radio. Sporting News Flash.
The Giants can't put their stock in bonds for a few more days.
Okay, that was seven takes on what is really just one radio station. And, you know, it makes me wonder, what one broadcast facility in the United States has had the most different call letters over its life? You know, there's a fellow in Dallas working for the Hispanic Broadcasting Company, and he has made a table of all possible call signs that start with W or K, and he's plotting the number of different radio facilities that each one has been affiliated with. I know Scott Feibusch is a good friend of his, so we'll see if we can follow his progress through Scott, perhaps. Okay, as we continue on our merry way across the country on this 820 travelogue, the next community we come to is Fort Worth, Texas. Wow. And boy, did we get a great tour of the studio facilities of this powerhouse station during the convention on Labor Day.
WBAP, Fort Worth, Dallas. The legend lives on WBAP.
From ABC News, I'm Don Ross.
Yeah, that's one of the older ones. Just seeing all the equipment and activity in that studio complex. And those of us who grew up in broadcasting, but who haven't really been directly involved in a few years, we could only shake our heads. There isn't a record turntable in the building anywhere. There was one room with a reel-to-reel tape machine. It's used when a client of WBAP sends in a production commercial on a reel-to-reel tape, which doesn't happen all that often, needless to say.
Talk 820. Depend on it.
WBAP Fort Worth, Dallas.
Skies are mostly cloudy. We have 88 degrees at 3 o'clock. Hello, everybody. I'm Jim Rogers.
You know, I wish I still had a copy of that old ID I'd heard as a kid from WBAP. They were sharing the 820 dial position back then with WFAA, and each time they would switch from one set of call letters to the other, they would ring a cowbell. And the oddest thing was, however, that when WBAP relinquished 820 to WFAA, it meant you could tune down to 570 and hear WBAP as if nothing had happened. And the same thing as when WBAP was up at 820 on the dial, 570 was busy with the WFAA programs. In other words, they swapped call letters and frequencies instantaneously, twice a day, at least.
The most listened to news and information station in all of Texas.
WBAP, Fort Worth, Dallas.
It's 9 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Tim O'Donnell. By some estimates, the love bug software virus has infected tens of millions of computers around the world.
Well, just as we did back in September, we will drag ourselves out of Dallas and play you a recording that altered the way Linda and I have kept track of stations that we record when we zig and zag our way across the country. Ever since we made this recording a number of years back.
With you in Newport, AM 820, KORC.
Okay, file it away in the vault. Well, wait a minute, not so fast. You see, KORC isn't in Newport. It's in Waldport. I got duped by that nice announcement, and I didn't realize we'd made a mistake until we were hundreds of miles away. Maybe someday Pete Taylor will be down near Waldport. Hint, hint, hint. In fact, Pete Taylor was at the NRC convention over Labor Day in Dallas. He's made a lot of top-notch recordings for the Travelogue. And he talked briefly about what he hears at 820 with another club member, Phil, by the way. First, let me switch over to the Dallas traveling microphone that we used.
Let me just see. We got Phil, by the way, and we have Pete Taylor, and they're both from the SeaTac area of Washington. What do you call that area?
The SeaTac area of Washington. Seattle Metro. Puget Sound area, probably.
How long have you lived there, Pete?
Since 1996.
And you worked in radio at one time?
Yes.
Tell me some of the...
The new WQAM in 560 in Miami.
And what did you do there?
I was the all-night disc jockey.
In 1830?
Oh, yeah, somewhere back there. 1956, yes. Then a little bit of work at KHVH in Honolulu, and then KFOG San Francisco and WJIV in Boston.
Phil, by the way,
how
long have you been out in the great Northwest?
I was born there, so that's 16, quite a few years.
Yeah, all right.
Over 50.
Have you been in radio?
I did a very short stint doing news at the college radio station at the University of Washington, KCMU 90.5 FM, which is currently KEXP 90.3, a semi-commercial station. I have been on the air a couple of times while DXing and calling, including the station in the Yukon, which I heard in Seattle, and I called them up, and they immediately put me on the air. And so I got the chance to hear myself, which is probably why I'm not in broadcasting.
We're going to be talking about the 8-something. What are we going to be talking
820.
About? 820. 820. I knew it was 820. The station's in Burien. Am I saying it right?
Burien. Burien.
Burien. Okay.
Don't correct me if I'm wrong, but K, what was it on 800?
QIN.
KQIN started as an 800 daytimer with a kilowatt. And when Salem bought it, they changed the call letters to KGNW, moving their programming down from 1150 and also went to 50 kilowatts day and 5 kilowatts at night, right?
Yep, and so goes 820.
Yes. Not so bad for me. I can null it out and get WBAP very often and usually KORC from time to time down in Oregon because they don't always cut down to their 15 watts at night. How about you, Phil?
Well, since they went full-time on 820, I've been able to null them a few times, but all I'm getting is WBAP. I've heard nothing else there since they came on the air.
Well, okay. I certainly want to thank both Phil and Pete for their comments. We had a great time in Dallas. And, Pete, you had sent in a recording of KGNW recently to show us how they sound.
Sound Christian Talk. AM 1360. KAMO Tacoma. AM 820. KGNW. Burien, Seattle.
The following program is sponsored by Insight for Living.
And to wrap up this 820 channel for the travelogue, I take you north to the Gateway City. The Gateway of Alaska, that is.
Bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving. Bring it on home to me. Yeah.
Good time rock and roll oldies on KCBF Fairbanks.
CBS News, this is David Jackson.
Well, okay, Mr. Jackson. Well, that kind of does it for this 820 dial position, at least for this trip up the dial that we're making on the travelogue each month. Say, I want to give credit where credit is due to people who submitted recordings of stations that we've used on this program. Start with Dale Hamm. Dale, was great to be with you in Dallas. And thanks for the cassette. You do such a nice job on those. And Clark Ingram, Mark Strickert, Fred Vobey, of course, Pete Taylor, and Mark Durenberger. And we're going to have a lot of fun next month, too, I think, on the travel with stations that broadcast at 8:30 on the dial. But of course, right now, I'm looking forward to our visit with Mark Durenberger on the DX Audio Service.
Mark Durenberger on the road again, and it's the time of year to resurrect what's becoming a tradition in our little corner of the DX Audio Service. If you're new to us, you may not know that every year about this time, through our discovery of a box of long-forgotten recording tapes, we make a virtual visit in time to the WSM transmitter site in Nashville, Tennessee. This time, we've loaded some tapes that were recorded in 1975. As we push play, cup of coffee in hand, we sneak a peek through the mists of time to see in our mind's eye the WSM engineers seated in front of a high-quality communications receiver and a dubious-quality Wolensack tape recorder.
This is a recording of Class 1A channels made at WSM transmitter site in Nashville, Tennessee.
Engineers at 1A Clear Channel radio stations had been asked to make representative off-air recordings of each other. The FCC, in considering the breakup of the 1A Clears, wanted some real-world observations of what reception was like on these still unduplicated channels. And what better way to get a spot check from geographically separated areas than to have each station record all the other channels from its own location? A number of 1A stations agreed to this off-air recording project, but WSM's recordings may be the only ones to survive.
This is part of an interference study made on February the 1st, 1975 at 10 p.m.
Because we have these audio snapshots in time, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to hear what the reception conditions were like 30 years ago, when the channels had not yet been duplicated, at least domestically. I provide that caveat because in some cases, some very real co-channel is very obvious, almost all of it in Spanish. Now, these recordings were made at the transmitter building of WSM using a long wire antenna stretched out near the tower. So 640, 660, and 670 signals. Just couldn't make it through that 50 kilowatt on 650 coming off that tower. So our audio shot begins with 700. We'll include the rest of the then 1A clears and end our look back in time with audio from 1210. So enjoy our annual flashback, and if you're one of us old farts, you may recognize some voices and sounds you'd long forgotten.
The first station monitored will be WLW, Cincinnati, Ohio, 700 kilohertz.
Rita Coolidge, Chris Stomperson, called 11 Arms at 9 minutes after 11 o'clock here on Radio 7. You with Jim Dreyer on a Saturday night for the final hour of the program. We'll go back to 69. Neil Diamond, a little Holly Holy.
Radio 7 and Jim Dreyer, and that's not a surprising signal given the short distance between Cincinnati and Nashville. Here's WGN on that same night, and a bit of co-channel that wasn't unusual even back then.
The air is calm, barometric pressure still rising, standing now at 30.18. This is Steve Hunter.
Thank you, Steve. This has been WGN News. Our next report at 11 o'clock, the sports special at 10:55, WGN Radio in Chicago.
I'm Air Force Captain Mickey King with a word for young women who are high school.
In the next recording, WSB 750 kilohertz.
Here he is again, our WSB answer man. And tell us, sir, how many teaspoons make up a tablespoon?
Well, according to the Atlanta Public Library, Fanny Farmer, Graham Kerr, and the French chef, it takes 3 teaspoons to make 1 tablespoon.
This is WSB Radio Atlanta, and at 11:20, WSB's Nightbeat presents the favorite songs and stars of 750 land listeners, men like Ronnie Aldrich.
WJR on 760, like WLW Radio 7, was having its own identity crisis in the early 70s. Many of these AM giants weren't quite sure how to reinvent themselves, and the idea of catchy signatures for these guys was, fortunately, short-lived.
Stay tuned to Radio 76, where news comes first every hour. Time now for the sports final, brought to you by your power station for sports, WJR. And here with the last word in sports is Paul Carey.
Thank you, Gene Elzey, and good evening. The Pistons came through again at Cobo. They beat the Buffalo Braves 119-113. In college ball, Michigan lost to Purdue 75-67. Michigan State beat Illinois 75-60 as Indiana continued to roll, knocking off Ohio State tonight.
Paul Carey and Gene Elzey on a night in the 1970s. While just up the dial, the music station was still dominating the East, although you'd never know it from the listening post in Nashville. It's less than 470 MapQuest miles between our WSM receiver and the WBBM tower on 780, but listen to this.
Meanwhile, Riot Maker Jimmy Connors put the finishing touches on their game today for tomorrow's $100,000 showdown at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. Although the match is for winner-take-all stakes, the loser will not go home empty-handed because of television fees, which reportedly will net the loser between $50,000 and $60,000. The Labor camp also won a coin toss, deciding that 2-day-old balls will be used. Labor claims spectators get more enjoyment from a slow court and less lively balls because they can follow the action better.
What a compelling case for restricting the coverage area protection of the 1As. Well, it isn't all that bad, and of course it depended on the propagation conditions during the moment that audio snapshot was taken, doesn't it?
The next recording, WBAP 820 kilohertz.
A fallen star.
Kenny Husky.
I'll play that just for me.
The next one I'll play for you. Let's play the weather right now.
WBAP, Fort Worth, Dallas weather.
With a forecast calling for cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms tonight, tomorrow, and on Monday, with possible flooding in the low areas, which traditionally flood after periods of heavy rain. Winds northeast 10 to 15 miles per hour.
And even on BAP, we're hearing some co-channel. Loyal listeners will remember that every capture of WCCO 830 from Nashville has had a high-frequency whistle in it. Some folks thought it was a het, but I'm still wondering if it wasn't some local phenomenon. This will be one of the better nights for CCO, but that so-called het is still pretty constant.
This is the station that serves the nation, coast to coast of the night, WCCO, Minneapolis, and St. Paul.
The next recording, WHAS, 840 kilohertz.
Let me sleep. And oh, if only I could never wake again.
Yeah, righteous rain, old chum. Yeah, just what the doctor ordered. It's a funny one, all right. With all the doctors around this night, like the gentleman who just left.
Don't call him gentleman.
Oh, well, I mean, when a man's become a doctor...
No matter what he thinks he's become, the devil is what he began.
Now to WWL with its directional pattern to the north and great Gulf location. A signal like high beam headlights in the Nashville area.
Channel Radio 87 WWL in New Orleans, clear channel country music for the United States.
On the other hand, we have yet to hear good copy on 880, and it's possible that on all the East Coast stations, we're being victimized by antenna orientation at Nashville. That long wire may be favoring north-south signals at the expense of stations to the east and west.
This is WCBS New York, where the information is. More and more people are discovering that it often happens this way.
Underlining what we said about the dangers of these short audio snapshots versus propagation, here's AM radio from Chicago again, a bit later than the earlier WGN capture.
It makes my hair beautiful, and it makes me feel beautiful.
There's nothing on earth that's nicer for you than Clairol Herbal Essence Shampoo, a non-alkaline pH shampoo with natural protein. Experience it.
WLS.
There's a feeling around, this America sound. Pepsi people feeling free.
Feeling free.
Free to choose a new way. Free to stand up and say, you be you and I be me.
What does feeling free mean to you?
Fishing.
Flying.
Playing handball.
Dancing.
Driving cross country.
Partying.
Playing basketball.
Running track.
Spending money.
Being yourself, doing your thing, and being cool.
Join the Pepsi people.
And yes, it is true, the co-channel situation at that time greatly favored WLS, but we could have been hitting it on a fade-in.
This is Mike Levine, and I'm helping to find foster homes for mentally retarded children. The children are of various ages, and some are physically handicapped, but those who are chosen as suitable foster parents will have the support of a strong team of medical and psychological specialists, social caseworkers, counselors. It's a real challenge, but the emotional reward is just as great. If you're interested, write Foster Care, Box 81, Crescent, Pennsylvania, 16630.
Talk to the people.
Hello, this is John Signa.
Hello, John.
The next recording, WBZ 1030 kilohertz.
When you talk about new schools in the city of Boston, you can talk about the Trotter School, you can talk about a number of schools
just
in Roxbury.
Just
look,
happened.
Now I let you talk a great deal.
No, this just happened as soon as...
I hate to do this to you, but as I said, I'm going to bring you back when I finish my comment. But I can't engage in a discussion with you because whenever we try to talk, I try to allow you to say what you want to say. I let you speak for about 2 minutes uninterrupted. And as soon as I open my mouth, you try to interrupt me. And it just doesn't work that way. This is a discussion program, not a diatribe program. And what I'm saying is that when you talk about the Deep South, I agree with you. Those schools down there were horrible. The materials that the kids had to learn with were non-existent.
WHO, 1040 kilohertz.
Paul believed that he would survive death. He spoke of this as his hope. He began his speech by saying, "And now I stand here on file for hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which..."
You know, I'm beginning to think that our 1975 night that we picked was just bad, bad, bad for Co Channel. Don't you think? How else do you account for so much Co unless it is indeed a result of the long wire orientation? Well, here's Cleveland, 1100. 1100 sporting several call letter incarnations during the 70s. Let's see, what'll it be tonight? And even KMOX St. Louis has co-channel tonight. Oh, my.
Tries to work around Daly, who spins him around, and Daly is going to get a penalty. Delayed penalty coming up on Daly for holding Chuck Lepley. And the Blues, with a 4-2 lead and 5:58 left, will have the man advantage. This is St. Louis Blues hockey.
If you're self-employed or not covered by a pension plan at work, Community Federal has two tax-sheltered retirement plans you should know about. If you're self-employed, you can set aside up to $7,500 or 15% of your yearly income, whichever is less. If you aren't covered by a pension plan at work, save up to $1,500 or 15% of your yearly income, whichever is less.
To Salt Lake City we go.
No continues any progress toward a settlement, and no further negotiations have been scheduled. The members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers went on strike 6 weeks ago in a demand for higher pay. Supervisory and other personnel are continuing to work at the two facilities. The future of the Republican Party in Utah was discussed at the opening of a new state headquarters for the Republican Party this afternoon.
That sideband stuff. There are 1150 stations on the air in Tennessee, or it might have been WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia. We'll never know. But pretty good copy from that far away, don't you think? Here's another great signal coming through the night from a long way away.
Next recording, WOAI 1200 kilohertz.
WOAI San Antonio, 50,000 watts, clear channel. The sound of sports for San Antonio and the great Southwest.
This is Lowell Lundstrom. Welcome to the Message for America with the Lundstroms. Here's our daughter Londa with a song about the top of the world.
Ironic. Ironically, WOAI was one of the 1A stations doing the most to promote the Clear Channel concept. And now, they're the flagship of the multimedia megalopoly called Clear Channel. And that takes us to 1210, our last signal. Another signal that just never seems to make it into Nashville with any degree of authority.
Try this hockey history question from Schmitz, the easy beer. What was the first team to win the Stanley Cup? Here's a few seconds to ponder the problem and reach for the beer that tastes easy and goes down easy, Schmitz. Now, the first team to win the Stanley Cup was the Montreal AAA. In 1894, they played the Ottawa Generals for the championship and won. That's just a little something from the halls of hockey history brought to you by Schmitz, the easy beer. See Schmidt & Sons in Philadelphia, Norristown, and Cleveland.
Monday morning from 5:30 till 10, WCAU Radio will examine our world, the people, places, and events that touch all of our lives. Make WCAU Morning News Beat with Bruce Bradley, Bob Schmidt, and Ralph Lawler a part of your life, starting Monday morning.
And that, boys and girls, is our third installment of Clear Channel recordings from the WSM transmitter site, recorded in the early 1970s. The DX Audio Service thanks WSM for preserving this audio. We have plenty more of these to share with you, so look for the next bunch in a year or so, and we'll pick a different year and a different night in the early 70s. Mark Dernberger here for the DX Audio Service. Hey, no longer the rookie. We'll be back again next month with more from the Clear Channel scene. Till then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark, for an interesting band scan. You know, it just dawned on me that in 1967, I think it was April of 67, I got my first reel-to-reel recorder, and had I had the foresight to have recorded all those radio stations that you just featured, which I could get just about every one of them, it would have been very interesting to compare the reception in Nashville to that of Toledo, Ohio. But, you know, here's a hint to a lot of UDX Audio Service members. Just about everyone has a cassette tape or reel-to-reel tape laying around that they can use. Why don't you record some of the radio stations that you can hear right now? I mean, just pick a day and spin the dial and record some radio stations. Take that tape and tuck it away. See what it's like in 5, 10, or 20 years from now. And maybe we can even profile it on issue number 500 of the DX Audio Service or something. But it would be very interesting, because I always enjoy going back on some of my old cassette recordings and reel-to-reels that I recorded starting really about 1969. And it's really interesting to kind of listen to the radio back then. Hey, I'd like to speak to some of our Canadian members at this time. Our Canadian members pay typically $6 more for a subscription to the DX Audio Service. Then there's the devaluation angle, and really you don't get 33% more on your cassette tape than U.S. members do. So I'd like to announce at this time, effective December 1st, something special for our DX Audio Service members in Canada. And that is the subscription rate to the DX Audio Service will drop to $28, same as U.S. So if you're renewing your DX Audio Service subscription and you live in Canada, or perhaps you know somebody that might want to take out a new subscription, remind them that it's going to be in December, $28. And we hope that helps everyone out up there in the great white north. Hey, let's tune it over to side number two and hear from Phil Wayne down in Marion, Ohio. He's does the market scope. And we'll be back with more of the DX Audio Service as soon as you flip.
It's a big D kind of a day.
Please flip the tape to side two.
So just keep doing like you're doing. WDEV.